There's an amazing story that had emerged across the Arab world. It was carried on Middle East Monitor and Al Jazeera. And suddenly there's been a twist in the entire story. The story first emerged of a South African who walked from Cape Town to Gaza and from there to Masjid al-Aqsa, and he was now to continue his journey all the way to the Haramain Sharifain. And suddenly there's been a twist in the story, with this individual being accused of theft. We're joined on the line by Faisal Syed, CEO of Deen TV, speaking to us live from Cape Town. Faisal, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show. Faisal, assalamu alaikum.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Your World Today on Radio Islam.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us about the story of the Cape Townian that had made the news across the Arab world. How did this viral story of a Cape Townian, or Cape Town to Palestine story, unfold?
No, I didn't even know whether I should be laughing or crying about this matter. Because there are some really sad parts about it, and there are some very funny parts about all of this. And so one doesn't know whether you need to laugh or cry about it. But yeah. The interesting thing is that let's just roll the tape a little bit back go back to maybe 2015, around there. I had this woman walk into my office, 75-year-old lady, goes on the floor, crying, holding my legs. I sit down with her on the floor and I ask her what's wrong at the reception, and she says that my Hajj money is gone. Now, this is a 75-year-old woman, and you immediately start gravitating towards that situation. I get to the bottom of everything, and I realize that there's a very deep story here, and that is that Shahid Sakala had taken lots of people's Hajj money through some type of mechanism that he created, taking money for many months, and then there are they go to court, there's drama in the court, and these issues continue till now. And then he decides he's going to walk from Cape Town for Hajj on the other side. Now, so a year and a half elapses, and you open up the newspaper and the social media, and you see a very same man is sitting with the prime minister in Palestine, explaining to the prime minister how he had walked all this way on this epic, heroic journey of Hajj. And one needs to start asking yourself a question, and that is, how do you put yourself up there as a hero in the Hajj space when in Cape Town you've aggrieved many people and owed many people their Hajj money? That is unacceptable. That's the long and short of what's going on.
Yes, certainly. The fact that the way it's being portrayed. But on the other hand, many of the listeners wanting to know whether he really walked, considering the shoddy background, is there a chance that the details of the walk may... Are we able to verify that in any way?
So some of the data that... firstly, the Palestinian government has been in touch with me for many days, a few times a day, as we provide information and all of that type of thing going forward. And I know that last night we started seeing snapshots from the passport, and there was a video done by some media agency on their side where they had spoken to him live, and he had shown some aspects in his passport. The irony of that is that there are numerous stamps through different ports across Africa. Now, my take on that is very simple. In March this year, I personally had traveled by bus between Cairo in Egypt and Nuweiba on the port, and from the port I took a ferry to Aqaba in Jordan. So I had followed that exact route. He quotes the same route that he had taken, but I know and I remember approximately a 10 to 15 hour bus journey between Cairo under the Suez Canal into the Asian continent, into Nuweiba. I've traveled that same route this year, but by bus. Now, if I need to think about that only, my passport is certainly stamped in Cairo, it's stamped in Nuweiba port, and it's stamped in Aqaba, exactly like his is. But I went by a bus and ferry. Now, I also question, that one trip alone that took 15 hours through the desert with a bus, can someone walk that route, and that's one component only, and that's from Cairo? And are you still saying you walked from Cape Town all the way to Cairo? I'm just having my doubts as much as your audience, because certainly I wouldn't pick up that amount of weight walking up I must be honest with you. I walk around for a few days here in the shopping center in Cape Town, and I lose quite a bit of weight, you know. So I don't even want to go into all of that.
You shouldn't be walking around too much in the shopping centers at this time with the COVID issue.
No, of course. And then one, you also need to ask yourself the question. You know many of the countries. I've been to Kenya, Uganda, all those countries. And most likely, with all due respect to those regions, is it really possible to walk across there by your own, with your cell phone, through a very, I suppose, that could be territorially dangerous? You know, you need to ask all those questions. I mean, there's some huge animals running around at the same time and all of that. So there's all of those questions. But in effect, the biggest concern for me is one can go sit with all those documents and try and verify all of that. But the biggest issue for me is the fact that how do you put yourself up as a hero of Hajj when there are people crying in Cape Town because you know you've taken their money and disappeared with their Hajj money.
So we don't know whether he really walked the distance, but we know that he did walk away from the issues in Cape Town.
There's a difference between walking and running. I think it's running more than anything else, yes.
Yes.
So the man that puts himself as a hero there in Cape Town especially is known as a crook. That's the bottom line of all of this.
Now, is there an opportunity to have him extradited with the communications that you've had?
I actually have with me my show's attorney, Fazluddin Abrams, the show's attorney. I'm just wondering if you can, is it possible for you to pose that particular question to him because he's working on that matter at the moment with the authorities.
Yes, so, okay.
Would it be appropriate, can I just pass it on to
his
you?
Name is?
Thank you, sir.
Walaikum salam. Shukran for joining us this afternoon. We understand that, you know, you or the legal background, you may be able to answer the question that is there the possibility of Shahid Stekela being extradited to South Africa?
I am currently in talks with the authorities trying to establish whether there is a J50 that is executable or enforceable. If so, then we need to look at whether there are treaties between the two countries confirming that they are able to extradite on that basis. So everything, and I think Faisal has spoken quite clearly about the stance that the South African community is taking. It's not really of a technical legal issue, but it's more about a moral issue pertaining to his what do you call this now? His particular stand of putting himself out there and saying, I'm doing this, yet he laughs in the face of people who has tried to save their life long in order to go on Hajj, and he simply took the money and he refuses to pay it back. He refuses to acknowledge that he has taken it. Yet we know all the people is still alive and kicking here in South Africa. So on a legal basis, I can certainly say...
Well, what is the position of the cases? Are there any cases that are open against him, and what is the position of that?
The one that I particularly did research on when I came on the scene, what Faisal said as the attorney for the show, was that there was a criminal case where the matter was provisionally or it was withdrawn on the basis that there was insufficient evidence to convict him of a criminal act known as fraud. They particularly mentioned that at the given time, it was more of a civil basis, a civil claim between the parties against him. And remember, these are individuals who struggled their lifelong to save up money, pay it over to an individual, and then he refuses or he fails to provide the necessary services. They have no more money to spend for an attorney to sue him in civil court. They don't even have any confidence in the justice system for that matter, because they feel that this is not the only individual or group of people who he has done this with, but many others. And many others, you know, from a spiritual basis, what we've heard the individuals are saying that he will get his day. And they are glad that given the fact he has taken the money, perhaps they pray and hope that the Almighty has granted them their Hajj, even though they have not set a foot in the holy cities. Those type of emotional sentiments are being spoken of, but I can assure you, few of these victims are personally known to me, or I know for a fact if they tell me that they've paid him money and he has failed or neglected to provide the services, then I believe them. And yes, that is the case of many others in South Africa.
Yes, so that is where it stands. We appreciate you giving us that legal background to the issue, and we look forward to seeing what are the developments and how will this pan out further. Jazakumullah khair for coming on the program.
My pleasure, sir. Shukran for having me. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.